Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and today I have with me an attorney, or as she calls herself, a recovering attorney, Heather Christie. Heather is a professional keynote speaker, a certified executive coach, and owner of Evolve Global. She has consulted with hundreds of companies and addressed thousands of people in her talks and workshops throughout the world for the last 11 years. Prior to founding her leadership coaching firm, Heather was a partner in a prominent 100 attorney law firm in Chicago. She's a co-author of two books and has been recognized both nationally and globally as a leader in the executive coaching industry. Heather is also a founding member of the John Maxwell coaching team, and she is part of a group that I have been involved with for about a year of local Florida people who are members of the National Speakers Association, which is where Heather and I met. Heather, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you could join us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Pat.
I know our listeners are going to be curious when they heard that you were practicing law in Chicago. What type of law were you involved with?
Well, I started my career, Pat, in general practice. So I practiced so many different aspects of law that you would consider me a jack of all trades and master of none back in that day. And I only did that for a couple of years. My intention really was to specialize and get really, really good in one area. And the area that I ended up choosing, or maybe the one that chose me, is legislative and regulatory law. And that's a really fancy way of saying that I was a lobbyist. And I used to fly all over the world and primarily representing a Fortune 40 healthcare company and really educate our elected officials on important legislation and policy issues.
In the process of doing that, it seems like at some point you decided to switch and then get into executive coaching. What drove that transition?
Well, I have to say that a lot of the drive was my entrepreneurial bug. So I think, you know if you have that bug, and I knew early on, I'd find myself sitting in my law office, and when I took a break, I would get on the internet and start searching different business opportunities and what business could I create. So I couldn't deny that entrepreneurial bug any longer. And the reality was I only had one goal that I set for myself out of law school when I got into my law firm, and that goal was that I wanted to make partner. I never reset. Once I made partner, I thought, okay, I've accomplished that. Now it's time to move on. What's my next goal? And it was, you know, entrepreneurship. So I was ready to go out on my own and start really working for me.
As part of your role as an attorney, did you come across nurses? And if so, in what capacity were you involved with them?
Actually, I did quite a bit of work with nurses in my legal practice and worked with some in-house legal nurse consultants. So, you know, some of my best allies in my world were nurses. And, you know, the issue that I focused on for almost 8 years really was a healthcare issue. It was an issue about medical devices. And I could never have done what I did or been as successful as I was without the input from some really, really special people who I worked with on a daily basis. So, yeah, I have worked quite a bit with some nurses. And actually, I got to know many nurses throughout that time in my career because they were among the groups that we worked most closely with.
What did you find about that in-house LNC role that was particularly helpful to you as an attorney?
Well, I would say when I think back about, you know, and I'm going to speak about one in particular who stands out for me among being the best of the best, and her name was Diane. And the thing that was so special for me about Diane is she was someone who I could completely and totally rely on. And so she created this relationship with me that was really based in trust. And it truly was a relationship. We were, I think we were friends even over, you know, over top of being professional colleagues, right? So she was, I kind of think of her as a figure in my life where she was looking out for me as a person in addition to taking care of our mutual client and helping us to really understand some of the technical aspects of the issue that we were dealing with. And so, you know, she was kind, she was supportive, she was so knowledgeable, which gave her a tremendous amount of confidence, and that gave me a tremendous amount of confidence in her. She was so supportive of me personally and professionally. So as I said, the fact that she gave as much as she did of her time and her supportiveness to me really developed that relationship. And then I guess I would also say, above all, she was really, really patient. So she had that nice, calm demeanor. And of course, my demeanor is go, 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 go. So it was really great to have that dynamic where she would slow me down, make sure I took the time to understand all the facts and the data. And, you know, my natural instinct, it would be to skip over some of that to just get to, you know, solving the problem or initiating our strategy.
It sounds like a wonderful set of attributes for being able to interface between medicine and the law.
It was really dynamic. And, you know, I didn't know much about the legal nurse consultant world before I started working with Diane. And, you know, to have someone like that who supported me so that I could really begin to learn the medical aspects of, you know, the initiative that I needed to teach people about, I can't imagine how that would have worked out for me if I didn't have someone like her on my side. And, you know, she traveled with me, so we did work together. At times I would bring her into meetings with senators or congressmen or state representatives or, you know, whoever needed to talk with her if they needed just an additional dose of expertise. But mostly she was behind the scenes, and she just, you know, filled me with all the information and knowledge I needed. She helped me answer questions. I mean, she got me to the point where this is a non-medical person who really, you know, the reason I became a lawyer is because I was so terrible at math. You know, I could never have made it as a nurse or a doctor. But she was sort of my right hand, my behind-the-scenes supporter that helped me get through the issues that we got through. And they were really, really important public health issues.
Now, I know as you transitioned out of that role and developed a coaching role, you thought about all those experiences that you went through in what sounds like some very high stakes environment and put together a model of how you can influence people using the words confidence, connection, and clout. Could you tell us the components of that model, first of all, and then take us through each piece of that and how it relates to being a legal nurse consultant?
Absolutely. So this model, I use this model even as a formula as well. Confidence times connections equals clout. And when I think about clout, I really think about influence. And every single legal nurse consultant out there has a level of influence. And it is one of the most important aspects or attributes of the business. So when you think about clout, John Maxwell is one of my mentors. And he's known as the leadership guru, right? And he says, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And I really support that idea. So we think about leadership in general, you know, that's such a big area. It's you know, sometimes it's a little intimidating with how broad that area can be. So the narrow path that I've chosen to focus on specifically within leadership is influence. And here's why. When you think about whether you're an in-house legal nurse consultant or whether you own your own business, I want you right now as you're listening to this, think about the impact of influence in your world. So what would it mean to you, what would it mean to your practice if you had the ability to increase your influence? And I just want you to sit with that for a moment, because influence and clout for me, they're interchangeable, right? It's just that clout starts with a C and it works with my program. So when you think about that, you recognize, wow, you know what, if I had more influence or more clout, well, then that means that these attorneys that I'm going to work with, they're going to look at me in a little bit of a different light. They're going to have a higher level of respect for me. They're going to count on me. They're going to believe in me, and it's going to make them better, and it's going to make them stronger, because if they can believe in my confidence, then they're going to follow my lead. And what would that mean for you? Well, if they have that level of respect for you, and you're carrying that kind of confidence about you, they're going to connect with you at a much higher level. You're going to connect just how Diane and I did. We were truly colleagues. We were peers. We worked together hand in hand. There was no hierarchy in our relationship because I had so much respect for her. I had so much confidence in her skills and her abilities. I had confidence in her confidence. And the reason I turned it into a formula, Pat, is because when you think about influence, is there any chance that someone could have influence over you, that you'd want to follow someone if you didn't have confidence in them, if they didn't have confidence in themselves? It would be very hard to follow someone's lead if they're not showing confidence. So you have to have that. And then the connection piece of it, it's not just about, this is probably the most important thing I can say on this show, is it's not just about your skill set and your technical abilities. That part is a given. And you know what? We can go out and we can find anyone who has the technical expertise. But if you don't have the ability to connect at a very human level and create a relationship where I know I can count on you and you know how to work with me and you know how to, quite frankly, you know how to handle me, you know how to manage me and manage that relationship. If you don't have that piece to it, then you also can't have clout. So one without the other just doesn't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're all interrelated, building on each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I talk to a fair number of legal nurse consultants, particularly those who are early in their business, who have shaky confidence when it comes to their skills. How does that interplay with being able to market and talk to attorneys and be successful?
I tell you, that's probably the number one thing that will either build your business and have it take off, or it can take you down before you ever get started. So if the confidence is shaky, here's what I can promise you. We feel it. We can feel it in each other. You know when someone has confidence because it's something that's internal and it shows up in how someone communicates. It's not the words you say, it's how you say them. And if you say them with confidence, that is a completely different place than if you say them with shaky confidence, as you said. So I think, you know, one of the things that is, so many of us struggle with this. Self-esteem is a major, major challenge, and it's something that the majority of the population struggles with. And self-esteem and self-confidence are not exactly the same. Self-confidence is what you display to the world, so that's what the world sees of you. But self-esteem is what you think about yourself. And I'll just give you a really quick test. If you're sitting there and you're wondering how you're doing on the self-esteem side, here's the test for you. If you were to, let's say you had 10 things to do on your list for the day, and you completed 9 out of 10 and you did them well and they were successful, but there was one thing that you really messed up. At the end of the day, are you celebrating a great day because of those 9 things that you did really well? Or are you dwelling on that 10th thing that you didn't do well, the 10th thing that you messed up? Is that something that you spend a little extra time beating yourself up about? Those who tend to dwell on the things that they're not doing well, you're directing your energy and focus towards a negative aspect of yourself. And so it's one of those things that can be very natural. There are many people who are listening right now who say, yeah, you know what, I'm that person who beats up on myself. I'm like my worst critic. And that also says to me that means your self-esteem can be a little bit low. And I'll just continue by saying that having a self-esteem that's on the, you know, maybe the negative side of the spectrum, meaning that you do, you know, take very seriously mistakes that you make and you're constantly interested in improvement, there's something healthy about that for certain. But if you're spending too much time focusing on the things that you don't do well or the things that you messed up, and you're not spending enough time rewarding yourself and acknowledging yourself for a job well done, then you might be out of balance. And that can absolutely translate directly into the confidence that you display to the world. And you know attorneys, you guys have worked with us for probably a long time, and although we're not all created equal, there are some aspects about being a lawyer where you know we're really looking to win a case, to make the right argument, to have the information we need. We have to have someone who's confident about their position and their background.
That's a really key point. It makes me think of when a nurse calls a doctor in the middle of the night and says, these are the things that I'm observing about this patient, and this is what I need from you, and leads the doctor to the correct set of orders. That nurse has to be confident in a high-stakes situation. I see the parallel with being confident about opinions with attorneys because they rely on us as legal nurse consultants and experts to help them win their case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the role that you play is so critical. And remember, okay, so here's something that you might not automatically think about, but I'm going to share a little secret with you. Attorneys can also show a very high level of self-confidence where you look at them and you say, oh my gosh, this person has it together and they're so confident. Sometimes you say, wow, they're overly confident. Sometimes behind that facade is a person who is unsure of themselves, a person who struggles with the same set of factors that I just explained, someone who beats up on themselves constantly for not getting it good enough. And so think about this. We rely on our legal nurse consultants to give us belief that we may not have otherwise had. So your confidence is not just about you. It's about filling the attorney with the confidence they need to go out and then make the argument that helps their client. So if I'm uncertain in an area, and especially if I'm an attorney who really doesn't understand a medical issue, and you know, it's uncomfortable at times to be in a place where you just don't understand or you have some level of confusion about an issue. You know, we want to get it right. When we've got someone on our side who has confidence, that confidence actually bleeds over and translates into our confidence as lawyers to represent our clients. If my consultant is sort of unsure and says, oh, I don't know, it could be this, could be that, how is that going to translate to my confidence? No, I need some definitive answers. I need someone to say, yes, here's the argument you make. We get that there are both sides. I want to hear the side for me. Yes, I need to know what my opponents are going to be sharing. What objections do I have to overcome? But when you fill me with the confidence of here are the issues as I see them, here are the facts, here is the data, and you fill me with that and you build me up. Remember, we need building up. We need someone to believe in us and believe that we can win this outcome that we're after. And that's a major role that you can play by being there.
Before I continue with the rest of the program, I want to introduce a new product I think you'll find very useful if you work with medical malpractice cases. An LNC with almost 20 years of experience sat down with me and shared her perspective based on working in a busy plaintiff medical malpractice firm. Rachel Aruda is the person who receives the calls from people when they contact the law firm with a medical malpractice or catastrophic injury case. She describes why people sue and what they must prove. Can the plaintiff take the doctor's license? Rachel shares the reality of pursuing a claim and the benefits of doing so. She even includes some advice on finding a new doctor or a hospital. You'll pick up useful tips when you purchase this program called Medical Malpractice from the Inside. Go to this link, http://lnc.tips/inside. That's http://lnc.tips/inside and use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Now we return to the show. Let's move on to talk about connections, which is the second part of your equation. What suggestions do you have for us for making connections with attorneys?
Well, I think as important as the technical skills and ability are, and that's really the key for driving that confidence, I also believe that the ability to communicate and connect with others is something that factors into confidence as well. So when you talk about them all being interrelated, you're absolutely right. So how do you build those connections? Well, my number one strategy is that you understand the behavioral style of the attorney who you're dealing with. This is the single most important thing to connecting. And as you know, we all have different behavioral styles. And even the attorneys you've worked with in the past, they're not all the same. They have different styles. It's not just their education, their schooling, their JD. It's about who they are as people. And so it requires awareness, right? That's the number one thing. I've got to be aware with every person I'm talking to. I really want to figure out what their style is so I can best adapt to it. So here's my three-part model. Awareness, assessment, and adaptation. I'm aware that we all have different styles, and your style is likely not going to be my style. So now that I'm aware of that, I have to assess what is your style. I use a four-part model, and it literally is just, it's just the most amazing tool you could possibly have for assessing someone's style, for learning how to adapt to the style, which is part three. How do I best adapt to this person's style? Because here's the thing, we all grew up with the golden rule, right? Treat others as you want to be treated. That's a great rule to live by when it comes to values. You just can't go wrong. When it comes to connecting, I believe that it's the platinum law, okay? The platinum law is treat others the way they want to be treated. And this is so critical. If I just show up with who I am, with my style, and I'm not focused on the other person, listen to what could happen. So let's pretend that you're a nurse and you're a very supportive and reserved style. You're someone who's patient, you take slowly, and you come across an attorney who's go-go, fast, and who wants to know answers and wants to know them now. If you go in this reserved and laid back and slow manner, you might lose that attorney before you ever even build that connection and that respect. So you have to be willing to ramp up the speed in that case and address things directly, to be direct with someone who is direct. And that may not feel comfortable at first, but if you can get with someone and adapt to their style, they will automatically have a higher level of connection with you. And when you have a better connection, obviously you have more respect. And when all that happens, that's when you're building your clout and your influence.
There's a concept in neuro-linguistic programming that addresses that of mirroring the other person's behavior. And I'm sure you're familiar with that, Heather. It's not something that I've covered on podcasts yet, but I have a guest in mind for a future program. Of being able to match the body language and the pace of the speed of the voice and the enthusiasm, because of this concept of we like people who are like us.
Yes, and you know, I am not by any means an expert in NLP, which is short for neuro-linguistic programming. And in fact, it's something that I'm sure that I have adopted naturally. It just in my focus and intention on adapting. I think that would be a great podcast to follow up on. I think, though, just and matching and mirroring is a wonderful thing to do, and you have to be very, very careful not to overdo it. You don't want to mimic, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would say about that is start with the basics. Learn, if you're not already familiar with this adaptation that I'm talking about, learn a four-part model. I'm happy to provide additional resources there. but I want you to learn about this four-part model. You have to get clear. You have to educate yourself first about the different styles that are out there. You have to educate yourself about who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses. You know, the most confident people, the most influential people, they understand where their strengths lie, and they focus the majority of their efforts in that area. They also understand where their weaknesses are, and they do everything they can to mitigate those weaknesses so they can stay focused in their strength zone. All of this comes from understanding your style. So you got to understand you, and then you have to understand the other styles that are out there. And listen, this is something that I truly believe. It's not an event. You know, we use DISC as our four-part model. And if you've ever heard of that before, that's just an assessment. There are four different letters that represent the four different behavioral styles. And I can't tell you how many people I've come across who have said, oh, I know DISC, or I've done DISC, and they've had one report and one training session one time in their lives, but they don't remember what the letters stand for. What I recommend is you get yourself into a full-on immersion. You know, when my husband and I were first married, we went off to Spain and spent 4 months in a Spanish immersion program where we were completely immersed in the language and the culture. That is the single best way to learn a new anything. And so I think of, you know, using something like DISC or a four-part model to understand behavioral styles, it is such a huge opportunity, and yet so many people are focused on just the technical aspects of their jobs. They haven't taken the time to truly learn what most refer to as the soft skills, right? The ability to communicate and connect and emotional intelligence. And all of that can be wrapped up in a model that's very simple, very easy to understand, but requires a very intentional effort. And I've been studying it since about 2001 when I was first introduced to it. I have trained trainers on it. I mean, I've completely immersed myself, and I'm still learning things 16 years later. So this is something that I think is worthy of study as much as any other technical skill that you're learning.
And it's certainly something that we need to pay attention to for being able to effectively communicate and to increase our clout.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there any other suggestions that you can share with our listeners in the last few minutes of our program today that would help them increase their clout?
Absolutely. I would say the number one way to increase your clout is to set some goals, to figure out where you want to be. And that it really requires your own analysis of, you know, what is your current level of influence? Well, how do you measure that? You know, we think about influence. Everybody influences someone, right? Whether I'm influential in my home with my children, or whether I'm influencing tens of thousands of people, whether, you know, there are people out there who lead countries who are influencing millions of people. So everyone has some level of influence. First things first, you got to determine where you fall in your level of influence. And then you've got to get really clear on what do I want. So if you've got a legal nurse consultant practice and you decide, okay, I want to increase my influence, figure out what that means for you. You got to get in touch with the why first. Why would that be important for you? And then you say to yourself, well, who would I like to influence? And that really is looking at your target market, looking at those people who you work with, and deciding who you want to increase your influence with. And once you get to that place, then you can start building the action plan for what are the types of things I need to do. For some of you, it's time to get more engaged in learning more about communications and connections. For some of you, you really need to focus on building your confidence, working on your mindset, working on I can instead of why I can't. And so you've got to really figure out where are you holding yourself back. A lot of times those are blind spots for us. So you might need to talk to some people close to you and ask them, where do you think I'm holding myself back? So I think, you know, getting clear on your goals, getting clear on the results that you're after, not just in one aspect of your life, but in every aspect. Because I think, you know, someone who is confident, someone who's connected, someone who has a lot of influence, they tend to be focused on all different areas of life. And if I know nurses, here's a common theme that I've known about nurses. You all seem to care so much for other people, and you put other people first all the time. The question is, are you taking time for you to build and grow you at the level that you could be? Because if you're not taking care of you, who is? So I'll leave you with that thought, is to just set some goals out there that are bold. Set some goals that will have you grow and change your level of clout. And when you do that, then you can start to figure the step-by-step of how do I need to do this? What's next on my list of things that I want to learn? Where do I want to grow?
I'm laughing, Heather, as you talk about our tendency to take care of people, because it's something that influences a lot of our interactions with attorneys. It can help us in a business sense because we are nurturing and caring. It can be a detriment if we are bending over backwards to help an attorney and not taking care of the business aspect of getting the retainer and making sure that payment plans are in place before we rush to help. I suggest that nurses have a little invisible hook in them that says, oh, let me help you. And it makes us very good assistants to attorneys in that aspect, but we also have to be smart about how we react in those situations.
Absolutely.
Tell our listeners how they can learn more about you.
Well, I think hopefully in your show notes, we can put a link there to our website, and that will be one way to connect with us. You can certainly connect with us on social media. But one of the things that I put together for your group, Pat, that I thought would be hugely beneficial is I put together, I'm going to send a link for anybody who wants it. I'll send you a link to my program called Reflect, Reset, Go. And this is a whole life goal setting program. So if there are any of you listening right now and you don't currently have a set of written goals, goals that are not just something you're going to attain anyway this year, but goals that are worthy of your time, your effort, your energy, your passion, goals that make you want to get up in the morning because you're so excited about them. If you don't have that right now, I want to send you a video program. It's free. There's no strings attached. All you have to do is text the number 44222. And when you text 44222, so you put that in the number line, and then you just write the word legal nurse. No spaces. Don't worry about caps or initial caps. Just type the word legal nurse with no spaces and hit send. And what happens is you'll get an email right or a text message right back to you that asks for your email address. As long as you spell your email address right and send that back, you'll be sent a link to go to that program. It's got worksheets, it's got videos, and I really act as your personal facilitator to make sure that you have all your goals set in all areas of your world.
That's a wonderful gift. I know that many people struggle with their goals, and anything that you can offer to help with clarity of that is really appreciated. Thank you so much, Heather, for being on the show. I feel like we've gotten a lot of great information and particularly value your perspective as an attorney, having worked with legal nurse consultants. That helps our audience understand the perspective of attorneys and how they value these skills that legal nurse consultants can bring to the litigation world.
Well, Pat, on behalf of all of those attorneys out there who work with legal nurse consultants or who are going to in the future work with legal nurse consultants, let me just say we appreciate you more than you know, and it would mean the world to us to know that you are really paying attention to yourselves, taking care of yourselves, working on, you know, building your confidence, continuing to build your skill sets so that you can transfer those to us. Look forward to connecting with you. Anybody who wants to reach out directly, or if you have any questions about that DISC model that I talked about, please shoot me an email. You can reach me at heather@heatherchristie.com. And Pat, thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you all of our listeners for being a part of this program, and please return again next week for another expert interview. This is Pat Iyer, who's been talking with Heather Christie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a part of this program. Check out our online training and books at legalnursebusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. Also, explore coaching with me at lncacademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And finally, join our continuing education program and get monthly trainings at lncceu.com. You'll get 2 online trainings each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. And look forward to having you tune into our programs again next week. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.